I caught up with our British-born reporter, who bases herself now in Lyon, France, late last week, and she was understandably chuffed about having just given birth, so to speak, to her first book. So journalist and now author Anna Richards was happy to talk about the guidebook she's been working on for almost the past 2 years. It's an interesting subject too, paddling France, and it details the top 40 places to put your oar in the water, whether you're on a paddleboard, a canoe or a kayak. And she writes about the beaches, the lakes and the rivers around France. And you might be surprised which rivers you actually can paddle in. Well, I have Anna Richards on the line. Anna's been reporting for us a number of times out of Lyon in France. She is a British travel journalist, but she's also a first-time author. Congratulations, Anna. That's fantastic news.
Thank you so much.
And now tell us, I know that a few times I've tried to get in touch with you to chase something up. You've been in the country occasionally, outside of Lyon. And I know you've been working on a guidebook, but you kept it up your sleeve. Good on you. But tell us about it. What's it all about? And is it officially launched yet?
It's officially launched, so I can now tell you, well, everything about it. No more secrets.
Oh, that's good.
So the guidebook is a guide to the best kayaking, canoeing, and paddleboarding routes all over France. And it's a real first, really. The publishing house that I work for, Bratt, which is a British independent publishing house, they noticed that this didn't really exist in France at all, a guidebook to, you know, kind of all of the best of waterborne adventures that you could have. And to me, it came around as quite a surprise, but also seemed oddly very logical as well. Before I moved out to France, which I moved in 2021, I used to do a lot of largely paddleboarding in Cornwall in the UK, where I'm from. Yeah. And these were some of the first pieces that I wrote about, would be testing out different routes and going off on multi-day trips. And when I moved to Lyon, because it's a landlocked city, I mistakenly thought that I wouldn't really be doing much paddleboarding at all.
Right.
And within only sort of a year or so, I'd signed the contract on this book for Brad, and I was charging all around the country with my paddleboard in the boots, and I paddleboarded in Lyon as well for one of the routes.
Oh, fantastic. So I imagine there's a river running through Lyon, yeah?
Yeah, there's two, actually.
And
so, yeah, that was a bit of a deliberation, which one to go for.
Are they both the sort of typical alpine rivers that run pretty hard?
One of them is a huge river. It's one of the biggest in France, the Rhône.
And that one
comes down from Geneva, and it's not particularly safe for paddling. This is why I opted for the Saône, which is a smaller one that actually comes down through Beaujolais rather than the Alps. And it's lovely. You know, paddleboarding in Lyon, it's really interesting because just a couple of kilometres out of the city centre, you feel as though you're in the middle of the wild, which is really special. And you've got islands in the river. And there's an old island monastery that was first built pushing 2,000 years ago. It was it's about 1,500 years old, and it's just outside of Lyon. And you know, you can get to it by water, which is incredible.
Oh, that's fantastic! And I guess that must have been quite a revelation to you, being in a landlocked city, famous for food, etc., to be able to do a sport that really relied upon, you know, oceans or other waterways.
It was very, very unexpected. And I mean, I wouldn't say that Lyon is my favourite out of all the routes that I tested out, because I tested out all of the routes myself in this book. But it was certainly very special to be able to do such an enjoyable route in my home city.
It's absolutely, absolutely true. So did you pick the best, or have you just tried to cram in everything that you thought might be relevant to these types of water sport?
Oh, no, I picked the best. And it was very tough to decide which routes to include, because I've included 40 routes, which sounds like a lot. But, you know, France being absolutely huge and all of the variety that there is, you know, you've got the Atlantic coast, you've got the Mediterranean, you've got the English Channel, then you've got all of the alpine lakes, you've got so many rivers. And I wanted to include the best, but also make sure that I had a good geographical spread. And there's so much variety that sometimes, you know, you get to a place and you think, gosh, it's such a shame that I can only really include one route in this area because, for example, Brittany in northern France, which is spectacular. I could have written a guidebook just about paddling in Brittany because there were so many great places.
Right. So do you feel like there'll be opportunities to update this book every couple of years, say, and, you know, do second edition, third edition?
I hope so. So this title is a follow-on from one of Brat's best-selling guidebooks, which was A Guide to Paddling Britain by another author. And that was what sort of motivated them to commission a France book, was that paddleboarding and kayaking is so immensely popular at the moment that they thought that that would work very well in France. Yeah. I think that the thing with a guidebook is it is always going to go a little bit out of date the moment it's published because, you know, things are always evolving. You know, there's always new water sports competitions and races popping up. There's always new hotels popping up and hotels closing down. Spent months researching this book. I haven't tested out every single paddleboard route that there is in France. So quite possibly when people read this guidebook, they'll say, hey, great, but you haven't tried this route, and I'll test it and think, gosh, why didn't I put that in?
Exactly.
But I hope that it will give people that enjoy water sports and want to visit France, I hope that it will give them a lot of inspiration and a lot of help planning their adventures.
So have you oriented it towards people living in France, or is it really a visitor guidebook? They told me it was oriented towards the visitor. So does that mean that all of the destinations you've chosen to pull your paddleboard out, are they accessible only by car, or can you jump on a train and go to some of these places?
It really varies. There's some routes in the book which are city-based, like Lyon, which, you know, you can get to very, very easily on public transport. There are some places where it really, really helps to have a car.
Right.
Basically, at the end of each chapter, I've put in the logistics of how to get there from the UK, but it would be the same for Australian visitors, you know, coming over, because I've sort of put the main ports of arrival. What I've tried to do as well, where possible, is discourage taking domestic flights within France, because the idea of a water sports guidebook is that it's quite slow, low impact travel.
Yeah.
So I've always included information like how to get there on public transport, if it's possible, if not, where to hire a car, to make it as slick as possible.
What about where to hire a paddleboard?
I've included that as well.
Oh, you've thought of everything.
Each of the chapters has a rental outlet included. So in each place there was a water sports club, and I usually contacted them and collaborated with them. A lot of the water sports clubs in France are highly seasonal. So for the vast majority of the book, if you're looking at hiring your paddleboard on site or your kayak on site, really you want to be following this guidebook between, I'd say, June and September.
Okay.
But there's plenty of routes that you can take out of season as well. And you've got, I don't know if you're familiar with Decathlon, the big sports brand.
No, I'm not.
In Europe.
Right.
There's huge sports brand in Europe, and they've got shops all over France, and they hire paddle boards, and you can pick them up literally any time of year.
Great.
Just the thing is that, you know, if you're doing that, you're probably doing things more in autonomy, and you probably want to be hiring a car to test out a lot of these routes as well.
Yeah, okay. You might have trouble shoving it in the TGV overhead bin.
Exactly. The luggage restrictions on your TGV, you're going to have to pay for a little bit extra if you want to take an inflatable paddleboard with you.
Okay. So how long did you spend in all putting the book together, Anna?
So in total, I spent about a year and a half, possibly even longer. And that's partly to do with the seasonality of things as well, because some of the routes were really quite difficult or inaccessible or even, you know, dangerous if you try and do them in midwinter. So it meant that I had to do a lot of the routes in the summer season. I did do quite a bit of southern France in March and April, which did mean that I ran into some quite gnarly weather sometimes.
Right.
But because this is my first book, I've really discovered how much time goes into writing a book. I mean, I submitted the manuscript at the end of August and, you know, cracked open the champagne and thought, great, feet in the air. And actually, the number, Brat is so thorough. and the number of edits that it goes through to ensure that, you know, the quality's there and no stone's been overturned. And then, you know, all the picture checks and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I've been working on this book up until about a month ago when it went to the printers. So it's been a good year and a half in total.
Well, I'm sure it will be worth it ultimately, maybe not immediately.
Oh, I hope so. It's already worth it. I'm holding my book right now with my name on the cover, and that's a real buzz.
Well, that is a buzz, I'm sure. I've not achieved that yet. I'm not actually sure whether I will. Good on you. No, I think it's great. Now, people in Australia can get this book because you've got is it a Kindle version?
Yeah. So they can get the ebook version or the physical version. I would recommend probably ordering through Amazon for Australians.
Yep.
It's live on Amazon already. Probably since it has only just been published, I would allow a few weeks if you want the physical copy.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't sort of order it tomorrow and think, okay, I'm going to France next week and it'll be there. Or download the ebook if you're traveling really, really soon. But yes, available in Australia too.
Okay. What was your favourite destination among the 40 that you singled out?
Oh gosh, it's so difficult, and it's something that I've mulled over a lot, and I think that my answer probably changes a little bit each time that I answer this question.
Mm.
One route that I really loved that I thought was really, really special was in Corsica, which is an island that belongs to France in the Mediterranean, just off the south of France. And I paddled a route near a place called Bonifacio. And the thing that was really special there, it was quite a long route to sea paddle, but it arrived at a cave which has a kind of open skylight in the ceiling.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you see pictures of Mexican cenotes where you've got, you know, kind of the water and then you've got a circular skylight. It's a bit like that. And it was really unexpected. And I think one of the reasons that made this one of my favourite routes was I didn't go to paddle that route originally. I had another route that I was doing that wasn't too far away. And somebody told me about this route and said, look at this cave, it's incredible. So I went to investigate and I went paddling this route. And I just thought, wow, this is one of the best routes in the book. That's going straight in. We'll take another one out. So yeah, it was that kind of that surprise element as well. And Corsica is so wild and dramatic looking and just so spectacular.
Right.
One thing that I had, I've tried out sort of a couple of paddleboard races before, but you know, very much as an amateur, because, you know, I love paddleboarding. I can paddleboard for a very long time. I'm never going to win any competitions in it. I'm not dedicated to it. But I got told about, and I can't believe I didn't know about it, the largest paddleboard race in France, which happens in Paris. And Paris is very, very difficult to do for water sports. There's so many kind of regulations that unless you're doing an organized event, you have to kind of be outside of the city center really to paddle on waterways.
Oh.
And I didn't know that there was this enormous paddleboard race in Paris. So that's now piqued my interest, and I really want to participate.
I was going to ask you whether the Seine was somewhere you could have a bit of a paddle around. Is it a very busy shipping waterway, isn't it?
It is. So you can paddle on the Seine, and there is actually one route in the book which is on the Seine, but it's not within actual Paris. And
right.
Paris was a bit of a kind of logistical nightmare, and I thought, you know, it's a guidebook to France. I should include a route in Paris.
Yeah.
And actually, with all of the restrictions that there are, it wasn't really possible. You'd have to go out into the suburbs, and that seemed a lot less interesting. So the route that I've included on the Seine is actually in southern Normandy. And it is a busy river, but it's a part of the river which is a lot more accessible to paddle. And it still feels quite urban, but the real kind of gift de résistance of this Normandy route is an old windmill. Well, it used to be on a bridge that straddled the entire Seine. And now it's just the old windmill that's still standing, which I would have to check my exact dates. I think it's 16th century windmill.
Oh.
But it's really, really picturesque, and you can paddle right underneath it. It's very close to Giverny, Monet's old home.
Oh, yes, I've been to Giverny. So yeah, beautiful.
You have? Oh, you'd be very close to it.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, Anna. I'm impressed with what you've done. Congratulations on achieving that goal of yours. And so people want to get the book, so go to amazon.com.au and if you're in Australia, or I guess amazon.com if you're outside and you want to buy direct from Europe or the US, I suppose. The ebook certainly is cheaper and more convenient for people, but you might also want a hard copy. And that's available through...
It looks lovely and it smells very nice.
Well, that's important. Tell me one last thing. Do you always stand up when you're paddling, or do you actually sit down and have a paddle too?
Oh, it definitely happens to me that I sometimes sit down for a paddle. It depends on the weather. If you've got really strong winds, your body acts a bit like a sail.
Right.
So it actually makes sense to drop down to your knees, because you're saving energy and you're kind of, you know, you're limiting the amount of wind that your body is trapping.
Wow.
And also sometimes, you know, it's nice to sort of do a leisurely paddle, have a little sunbathe on your paddleboard. If you want to get somewhere quickly, you should stand up. Most of the time I do stand up. It's very pleasant. Mm. But, you know, if the strong winds, if you're going over some rapids, I almost always drop to my knees, because I wouldn't say that my balance is particularly spectacular. Right. And also sometimes you want to go out for a leisurely paddle with friends. You take a can or two of beer with you and, you know, you sit or lie down in the paddle, stick your feet in the water and you have a chill out. It's the beauty of paddleboarding is that it can be physical. You know, you can really push yourself, or it can be incredibly relaxing. I suppose a little bit like hiking.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. And tell me, does the wonder dog get to go along? He tried to get in on the interview the other day. But do you take him on the board?
we have tried to put him on a paddleboard. He's incredibly confused at the moment. Kept jumping overboard. He's got a way to go before he becomes the sort of the poster child for my book.
Graham Kemlow there, speaking with travel writer and new guidebook author Anna Richards. Her book Paddling France is available as an ebook or in paperback form from Amazon. And we'll put a link in the show notes.